If you don't catch that, you'll miss the opportunity to see the kingdom of God unfold through you. Amen. And anybody ever felt like you had a limitation in your life? And we're going to find out today where that limitation and the idea of a limitation in your life comes from. But I want to say this before we go into what the Lord has been dealing with me about, and this is it too. That Jesus has limited himself to bring the kingdom into this earth through you. He will not do it without you. Let that resonate in your spirit for a moment. And for you that are online, thank you for being online today. I believe the Lord's going to reach right through technology and touch your heart and make you know you're valuable. But God limits himself to fulfill his plan through us. Is that tracking? And that you're so valid to him that your part in God's plan is up here. And that for us to be, amen, given to that way of thinking, all of a sudden, how I serve you to be who you're designed to be depends on how I experience him. Amen. This is so important for us to get today because, amen, you're going to find out that there's experiences in God that are necessary for you to push back everything the enemy's blocking right now and making you believe about yourself. Isn't it wonderful that when you're born again, you experience God? On a level that you're not isolating yourself from people, but you actually, that's just what happens when you're born again. You go from house to house breaking bread and in fellowship. And you continue in the word. Not necessarily the written word, thank God for that, but you are a hearer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And you become an extension of greater works than he did. Pastor, be careful when you say, no, I'm just repeating him. Is that okay? I'm going to repeat him. The works you see me do, greater you're going to do. Because he can't finish it without you. The greatest work is him. He finished his part on a cross, dying my death and your death, opening the door and allowing us an invitation to come on into the kingdom. Amen? But the kingdom, in God's view, from his lens, is in us. And from this platform, God's going to finish what he started. So the greatest thing that I can do today is let God. As Tony would say, yes, Lord. All he's asking from me and you is a place to rendezvous with us. The moment I give him his place to rendezvous with me, the potential of greater things than he did in flesh while he was on the earth, he can now do in flesh, in spirit, and in truth. Amen? So, the thought today is, what do you know? What do you know? You ever been asked that question before? And I'm not coming from that lens, but let's just pause for a minute and address that lens. What do you know? And you ever respond, I don't know nothing. And so that's a response to something. I don't want to get caught in the corner here, you know. Why are you asking me what I know? I don't know nothing. And save me the frustration and the anxiety of missing the point here. But the enemy wants us to agree with the fact that we don't know nothing. Does anybody agree with that? That's how the enemy wants to play us? At the same time, he wants us as well to think we know something. Depends on where you're getting that something from. And so the hope of our world depends on our willingness to let God show himself strong through us. Let me give you a quick story as I enter it. And by the way, I don't ever plan to get through with what God's given me this week. So, thank you, Lord. I got that off my back. I don't have to get through. He's going to finish something today that I can't, but he can. My grandmother told me a story when I was a puppy about a man by the name of Matt Holland. Matt Holland was an old country boy. He didn't know nothing from the lens of the educated. He was ignorant and unlearned. But after you visited with Matt Hollins, even those that were learned, the educated would say, whew, that man has been with Jesus. Oh, yeah. That's what attracted my grandmother to an experience with God that superseded ritual and tradition. The idea that we go to church. She became enamored by the fact of being the church. And it was this event in her life that she was a witness of, and she told me stories of Matt Holland. God, kingdom of God has come. So one day, Matt Holland is, you know, just living life, and he comes up on some of his friends, and he noticed that they were about to kill a horse. And the horse had just broke its leg, and, you know, that's the mercy mission we do if a horse breaks his leg, is you want to get him out of his misery because it's not going to sit and it's not going to heal and he's just going to be miserable and it's, you know, kind of a mercy killing. Well, Matt Holland walks over there to him and said, hey, can I have that horse? They said, the horse isn't worth anything. Its leg's broke. Can I have the horse? What you going to do with the horse? Are you going to give me this horse or not? Okay, if you want the horse, but we don't want it to suffer. Don't worry about that. Can I have the horse? Okay, it's your horse. And he walks over to the horse. He turns around again and says, is this my horse? It's your horse. He kneels down and prays for that horse. Gets up, climbs up on the horse, and rides off. I encourage you, don't miss the point. This is important. The kingdom of God manifested. Y'all got to catch it now. You're going to miss the point. Oh, God, use Matt Holland to do a miracle. No, that's not the point. The point is the Lord is waiting on us to let him manifest. I gave you that story. For the kingdom of God's not coming any other way, ladies and gentlemen. He's not coming through tradition. He's not coming through ritualism. He's not come with our idea of what we think church is. God comes by way of experience. You'll never be able to gather enough information to know him. So go ahead right now, for you that caught that, be set free from that lie. You can't quote enough scriptures to know him. And I digress. Thank God for our Bible. I love it. But you cannot get enough information in that cranium. And neither can you do anything that is good enough that will make you valid for eternity. Don't go ahead and say that. He told the rich young ruler that he's looking for, you know, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord just let him know bluntly, there's nothing you can do that's good that will usher you into eternal life. And the ones that were following him were astounded when they heard that. And they said, then who can be? You see how the lie works? Even the ones that were following him thought that I need to be a good person to inherit eternal life. The Lord's already setting some of us free right now. And again, I ask the question, what do you know? It's not about information. We don't need more information. What we need is revelation in order to experience transformation. This is hitting some of us right now. But there's nothing that you can do to merit what God has already given you. I've got to rehearse that again. Well, how am I going to get to, it's already yours. All he's waiting on is your agreement with him. And that agreement is not something that makes you qualify to be intelligent. It will kind of help you be smart, though. Amen? He needs a platform. He chose you to be his platform. But what he gives in return for your agreement is experience after experience that gives you the capital K-N-O-W-N. Or capital K-N-O-W-I-N-G. The knowing that comes by way of experience. I can't explain it, but I know it. I wish I could tell you how he does it, but I can tell you he did it to me. And I wouldn't trade it for a degree at Harvard. What God has done to me, and thank God, like my pastor would say from a home that I worked with prior to coming here, he made it, they even rehearsed it during this funeral services. He made it clear. He said, look, go get an education. Then get over it. He rooted for you to go get your college education. Yeah, go get it, but then get over it. Because it's not your salvation. It's not your answer. What God's about to do in your life will supersede what Harvard or Yale or any of the elite colleges could ever give you, because God is now meeting with you and he's going to give you what you can't explain. But in receiving what God is ready to give you, he's now able to finish what he started in our earth, the world around us. I think it was the 11th of this month on a Wednesday morning. I climbed out of bed, and there's times that all of a sudden I get this download. I'm getting up, and I mean, that's all I can think about was what I just got. And I don't have any recollection there while I was sleeping without it. I was thinking about limitations. And I didn't mean lamentations, limitations. Make you want to lament when you get limitations in your life. But he spoke it into my spirit, Aaron. Your limitations are a direct result of the things you think you know. And so I'm getting up, and I shaved my face, but I was rubbing what beard was up there. What are you trying to tell me, Daddy? And so I went and I just checked the dictionary out on limitations. And this is what it said. A limiting rule or circumstance, a restriction. A condition of limited ability, a defect, or failing. Anybody ever felt like that before? And then it gives an illustration. I mean, you might can go and check it out right now on Google, and it'll say the same thing. She knew her limitations better than she knew her worth. And then the Lord began to talk to me even more. The only reason that limitations exist in our lives is because we don't know how much we're worth to him. How can a limitation exist in you if Jesus is telling the truth when he says, all things are possible to them that believe? How? How did that get there? And how is it that we believe it like it's the truth? Are y'all tracking? Your thoughts, I mean, your thoughts will lie to your way of thinking, won't they? How many of us have thoughts through the day that's not telling you the truth? Again, you know, you think I'm encouraging you to go see a psychiatrist here just shortly. But the Lord's saying, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you. You don't have nothing to prove, ladies and gentlemen. He already proved it. But you don't understand, Pastor, I dropped the ball here and dropped the ball there, and I goofed up here, and I need to pay my retribution before I can get back in God's good graces. Anybody ever heard that voice before? And so I have to earn my way back into getting a hug from Daddy. And your thoughts will lie to you. They won't tell you the truth. And you'll think it's you saying all these things. And it's the enemy's job to hold you captive and make you feel like you're limited, amen, in your faith in God. And all you do, you use the term hope. I hope I'll be okay when the last moment comes, I take my last breath. And God had never intended anyone to live in that kind of prison and misery, hoping that I'm going to be okay with God when I stand before Him. Well, Pastor, that's how I feel right now. I know some of you feel like that right now. But I'm here to tell you that now's the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not when you take your last breath. Now is the appointed time for you to rendezvous to, or you to become God's platform so He can bring to you an experience that supersedes the way you think so that you can get the right kind of thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That you become so enamored by the presence of God and hosting God's kingdom within you because He's the King of it, amen, that you get delivered totally of all the frustration, the anxiety, the regret, the isolation, the list goes on, the sickness. Because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you host God on the level you're designed to host God, not tomorrow, but right now, when you host Him and you are in His presence, that when you walk into any room, the kingdom of God has come. Y'all got to catch this. Because the way that the kingdom of God comes is not because you're intelligent. It's not because you have a degree, and thank God for the degreed people that, amen, go the extra mile in our world and make things happen. Thank you for that. But that's not going to save anybody. What saves us from ourselves is when we position ourselves before God for an outpouring of His Spirit every moment, every second of every day. Now, are you going to drop the ball and get out from under the spout where the glory falls out at times? Yeah. Yeah, because we get tempted. We get drawn away with our own lust. Pride takes over. Next thing you know, we want to drive. Still letting Jesus have the wheel, right? I know what I'm talking about because I've done it more than I want to talk about. But He's always there. So I want to give you 2 points here. You know, points make us feel better. You can write that down. Because you want to, you know, what do you know? You know, you need to know what it is you know. First of all, to better understand what you know and to align yourself to where God can have you as the platform. And when you walk into a room, the kingdom of God has come. If you go into 7-Eleven today, it's like heaven's announcing that the kingdom of God has come because you walked into 7-Eleven. Has anyone been baptized in His name? Okay, That's what makes you the candidate to do greater works than he did when he was here in flesh. He's now in you. And when you become available, all of a sudden, what he wanted to do then, but he opened the door for you and I to do now, he can do it. Because now he's become our breath. He's become our life. And our availability sets him up to finish what he started, his purpose in the earth. So, the first point is stop focusing on your limitations. Stop focusing on what you perceive to be your limitations. Because if you still believe you are limited, you're rejecting him. Okay, Pastor, you don't have to get so direct with it. But you want me to, though. I know that's why you're here. God's setting this thing. He's drawing you here to this place. The Lord's bringing this group together because you want to move forward. You're ready to go to the next level in your relationship with God. So he's not beating anybody up. This message is a message of hope. It is to encourage you on who God says you are. And if you still see yourself as insignificant or limited in any way, God don't see from that lens. He don't see you from that perspective. He's passionate about one thing: finishing, making you. Amen? And just like he did, amen, in the very beginning, God said, let there be light. His words created everything that we see. Those same words, the original information prior to man walking away from God and ingesting information that wasn't from the original context, that original information, which is the truth, is what God wants to spill out of you. And he wants to continue to create and be God through you. Is anybody tracking? He's got a plan. And he limits himself, a God that can do anything. He made a decision that to finish this particular plan, I will limit myself to their willingness to let me in. And so he stands at the door and he knocks. And he don't stop. Because he knows sooner or later life is going to keep dealing these bad hands. And you're going to say, you're going to throw the cards in. I'm through. Lord, help me. And he's going to come suddenly. That's what the scripture says. If anyone feel after me, this is what the Lord says, I will suddenly come to my temple. There's multitudes beyond your comprehension of experience in God that are ready to come to you right now. But we got to put the enemy on notice. You see, the only one that was limited in the beginning from God's lens when it comes to this earth was Satan. He limited him. Yep. And the enemy knows that the only way he can take advantage of our authority, dominion, and power is to convince us we're limited. Amen. You ever had bad information in your life before? And that information did not only hurt you, but it hurt those that were in your path? And that's how you know that when you're being hurt and you're hurting others in your path, that you might be believing a lie. I'm gonna be very careful here, but God, it's important that I say this. Because God is not going to use you to offend the good news message on the platform that hell is hot. And if you don't straighten up, ship up, get it right, you're going to hell. And there is some truth to that. But that's not the good news. But why is it that we think we need to inform everybody that hell is hot, and if you don't straighten up, you're going to burn, fry, shoot like a bullet, and boil in those liquid flames of fire? Why do we think we have to inform people on damnation, eternal judgment? He didn't commission anybody in flesh to go be the bearer of bad news. He called us out of darkness into marvelous light to carry the good news. Now, I know right now that I'm going to get beat up for saying that. But let me make this very clear for all those that want to beat me up, and I'm okay with that too. Everybody I've ever met already knows about hell. I hadn't met a person that don't know what damnation and frustration and anxiety and pain is all about. Everybody knows about it. They understand the devil. They understand lies. They understand darkness. But they don't understand the kingdom of God. They don't understand the good news, amen, that happened 2,000 years ago, that light shined in darkness. And so we need to remind them, though, that the devil's real and hell is hot. And nobody came to church today that I have met yet that came to hear that message. They come because they want to meet Jesus. They've come because they want more of Jesus. They've come because they want to leave here full of hope, amen, and life, that they want to believe in who God says they are. That's why they come. They didn't come to be beat up with all something they already know has been going on in their life because they're living hell out right now. Oh, by the way, did y'all know that hell is cast into the lake of fire? Y'all got to catch that. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire at the last judgment. So the kingdom of hell is operating right now. According to Jesus, and that the prince of darkness is the king of that realm. But I thought the Lord took his keys away. He did. And he gave you authority and dominion. But the moment we agree with that and we step into who we're called to be and we go through the water of baptism in agreement with him, and he fills us with his spirit. All of a sudden, now he's king of his kingdom within me. I am now in Christ, and Christ is in me. Oh, and the potential of what my mind cannot comprehend. Oh, the enlightening that begins to happen because I'm in one experience after the next. All of a sudden, I know something. What do you know? You want me to tell you what I know? Man, me and Jesus been talking. Me and Jesus been doing something. Matter of fact, I saw Jesus at work through me, and I can't explain how he did it, but let me tell you what I know. Is anybody tracking yet? Our world is waiting on the believers to stand up and declare the good news. But the first thing we need to do is stop focusing on our limit, what we perceive to be our limitations. I'm only limited because I believe the lie that the enemy sold me. And I believe the thoughts that are lying to my mind. We've got to get those voices out of our spirit. And we've got to remind ourselves, God did not do this in vain. He knew exactly what he was doing when he came in flesh and dwelt among us. He knew exactly that, amen, while that was a point of reference then, and they beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that when Jesus went to the cross and finished it, amen, from his lens, I've done my part. Now Christ is about to resurrect. I'm talking about it right now. We're the body of Christ for a reason. And his kingdom is going to fill this earth. That's what he said. But you know what I've been hearing from professed believers and Christians? Oh man, doom, despair, agony, defeat's on its way. Everything's crumbling around us. I don't know if God can do this thing. Oh, the end is about over. No, the end happened 2,000 years ago, y'all. And I know there's going to be more trouble. I know there's stuff that's happened. I can't explain. I'm not here to try to predict the future. I'm letting you know who you are today. This is the day of salvation. Now is the point. The future from this moment forward is up to our daddy. And he may use you and me to prophesy something, amen, to encourage someone that's about to step into a level of relationship and experience in God. Amen, do that. We're that kind of encouragement. But he's asking us to step into the moment with him, get in rhythm with him, get in harmony with him, and sing his song. It's not about what's going to happen tomorrow. The enemy keeps throwing that card down. He keeps trying to pull us into what's going to happen tomorrow. And the Lord's saying, look, hey, ho, time out. Now, faith, right this moment, you catch a cold of what God's doing right now. Quit worrying about tomorrow. The evil of tomorrow is sufficient for itself. Quit worrying about tomorrow. And while we're thinking about the trouble of tomorrow, we miss the kingdom of God that's happening right now. Now, can Daddy tell us not to pay attention till tomorrow? Is it okay that he tells us to do that? And we submit? Pastor, be careful. No, we're hard-headed. We're arrogant. Well, Pastor, you're... No, I'm just talking about how the enemy plays us so that we sense limitation in our life. And we wonder why these limitations show up. Because we'll act like we're smarter than God. God knows what's best for me. And he knows that every experience he has for me is never in out here. It's always right here. Everything that he wants me to experience in him is in the moment. If I stop right now and didn't say anything else, and y'all got into the moment, you can't imagine what would begin to happen in your life and the miracles that would begin to manifest right now if I stop right here, which is point two. Focus on your worth. Stop focusing on what you perceive to be your limitation, but rather focus on your worth. I'm knocking on 59, and I begin to look around me, and it's easy to be frustrated with different generations. And in my mind, I have to cast down thoughts, because it looks like you don't grow a brain till you're 30. And I'm questioning that one now. This is good for us right now. I have to position myself every day to say, yes, Lord. Because all of us must go through the process. I wish my children would listen more to what I'm saying. But a lot of times they don't. And I can show them the scars of my hard-headedness, and they still go get the same scar. But they know something now. They experienced it. They know now. Okay, you touch fire, you're going to get burnt. And the enemy's goal is to diminish their faith in who God says they are. I didn't read it, but I want to read Proverbs 3 and 5. It says this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And that don't mean be scared of God. It means respect the fact that he's telling you the truth. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Verse 13, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. When you go double check, this is about experiences with God. Times you spend with him, and out of that comes a knowing that you can't explain. You just have it. All of a sudden, you don't know why I need to do this, but this is the direction I feel like the Lord's saying go, and it's wisdom to go that direction. And it's called trusting God, the greatest form of worship. If you have a problem trusting God, you haven't yet found out what worship is. Worship is not a worship set on Sunday. The fact that you feel the presence of God while we're all together and we're acknowledging the fact that he reigns and we're singing to him and you feel God. If that's your definition of worship, you're going to miss out on the miracles. Everybody enjoy our worship sets? You feel, you enjoy the presence of God? I do too. But that's him saying, come. That's him welcoming us to trust him. Now, you felt me. Now, don't leave today and wait on the next Sunday to feel me again. I want you to follow me now. I actually would love for you to join with me on something that I have purpose to accomplish. I need you. And so what he does, he'll give us his presence in such a wow factor to invite us to come go with him on this beautiful journey. But most believers will settle for the fact that they can feel God as being okay with God. But they really don't know God. Amen? Oh, I qualify to talk about this because I've done that. I felt God, yeah, Lord, I feel him, and get up and go do my thing. And I can come right back in the presence of God. Oh, man, God, oh, yeah, and get up and go do my thing. And you tell me what that looks like from heaven's view. And the Lord finally got that through to me. He said, son, now you understand how I feel about you as my child. Oh. So my children are doing to me the way I've been doing you. I got you, Daddy. But he tells me, don't worry about them. I got them too. I just need you to understand. Now you know me better because you went through that. And now you can know, don't just come into my presence and enjoy it. Host me. Host me. And the greater things, the greater works, the greater manifestations of my kingdom are waiting on you just to host me. And trust me. Looking at the funeral of my pastor back at home this week, his big thing was, it's all in worship. Worship. Man, if you ever learn how to worship, and the definition among most of the people in the audience was, sleep, clap, raise your hands, run around the building. And that was sincere. Very sincere, because, and he's not even saying that. If you paid attention a little bit more, you understood he was talking about experience God, experience God, experience God. And experiencing God always included some antic. No. And he was trying to convey that message, but then they weren't catching it. Because he had miracle after miracle after miracle happen in his life, and business people would come and join and said, how do you do this? How do you experience all this? And he would take them down to a prayer room. And he'd walk them up in their prayer room. He says, this is where me and Jesus meet. And this is where it all happens at. And in their mind, they're still thinking, well, I need to learn how to pray. Well, that's true, but not repetitious. Not, I lay me down to sleep, or our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. That's a good pattern for us to adopt, amen, to catch the value of his name and his word and forgiveness and having dominion over temptation and glorifying. That's good, but you got to get into it. And you need to hold for a minute so that your ear is tuned in, and now you begin to hear what he's saying. Oh, my goodness. And then you trust what he's speaking, and you go with it. What do you know? What do you know? Is this happening to anybody? There's a bunch of Nicodemuses hanging out close to you. A bunch. What are you saying, Pastor? They're looking for answers. And they're looking for Jesus. And the only Jesus Nicodemus has is the Jesus we let come up out of us. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of... There's Christianity across the board is working hard for salvation. And they know they're missing something. And Jesus is available for every Nicodemus. Oh, you want to teach like I do? Oh, you want to do this like I do? Oh, you would like to be a part? Marvel not that I say unto you. Let me be as a matter of fact, unless you're born again. And his whole objective is to bring us into identity. When I talk about born again, I'm not talking about some just experience. I'm talking about you stepping into identity. You're stepping into greater works than he did. You're stepping back into the identity that Adam left when he turned away from God. That's the identity he's bringing us back into so that we can take care of his business. He's not going to do it without us. Amen. I tell you what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to show you a clip of my pastor that just passed away. And then I'm going to get a testimony from the group here. God is working in this group right now. There's a setup in this room going on in the spirit right now. And so if you would you mark that video? And everyone, turn your attention to it. You ready? Do it.
And prayed over me, and he said to me, tomorrow you get on that basketball court and you will never fall again. I didn't feel anything, but I received a word of faith, and the next day I did what the man of God said, and it was gone. One that many people know about was the time I fell and broke both arms on a pheasant hunt in Shenandoah, Iowa. I fell off of the back of a four-wheel drive, had a gun in my hand, fell on a hard surface road, and I knew I was hurt. We were leaving the next morning to come home. They wanted to take me to the hospital. I said, no, do not take me. I said, I think my arms are broken. I want to go home. So that's what we did. We came home. I did not tell my wife what had happened until I got home. I was totally incapacitated. I could not do anything. The next morning, my wife took me to the hospital in Hattiesburg. They x-rayed me, and sure enough, both of my arms, major fracture, broken. And so they took the x-rays to Dr. Kahn. He was at his office, and he said, If he wants me to do the surgery, tell him to be back Monday. Had a hairdresser come Sunday morning, comb my hair. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to church. And so I said, are you going? I said, I'm going to church. I came to church that Sunday morning and greeted the audience. Sunday night, went back to church. I'm sitting there, and a gentleman came up to me and said, can we pray for you? And I said, absolutely. And they started praying. And I felt something I never felt before. And all of a sudden, I said to him, take that sling off of my left arm. And he took that sling off, and when he did, my arm fell down perfectly. And when it went down perfectly, it went straight up. And I started worshiping God. And I said to him, take the other one off. So he comes around and he takes the sling off of my right arm. It goes down by my side. When it went down, it went up, and I started clapping my hands above my head. I said, God has healed me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, man. Sorry about that. Yes. When they get through x-raying, and so I'm just in there waiting, not knowing what's going to be next, because I know I'm not doing surgery. In a little bit, Dr. Kahn came in and said, tell me what's going on. I said, what are you talking about, Dr. Kahn? He said, I looked at your x-rays Friday. They were broken. You were in bad shape. And he said, today, your arms are perfect. I'm sitting there like this because I didn't want him to know anything. And when he said that, I kind of laughed and I just dropped my hand and clapped my hand. I said, let me tell you what happened. And I told him about what had happened that Sunday night, how God had healed me. Here 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Went to two different physicians. Last one was an ear, nose, and throat specialist. They do all the picture taking and everything. Then they said, you're in bad shape. So that Sunday night, I was at a small group. I said, let me share something with you I have not shared with the church. And I told them the story. I said, they think I got thyroid cancer. And they're taking biopsies in the morning. They say my thyroids are very bad and they feel sure it's cancer. I said, I want y'all to pray over me. They prayed over me that night. On the way home, I told my wife, baby, I felt something I've never felt before. Just like this. God's done something, I believe. But we go the next morning, they do biopsy and they say, come back. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. We'll give you the verdict, what we're going to do, what we got planned. And so that morning I got up, my wife said to me, baby, you don't have thyroid cancer. I said, I don't. She said, no. I said, how you know? She said, God spoke it to me in a dream last night. You do not have thyroid cancer. I went back to see what the verdict was. I walked in. Dr. Guy said, I want to look at you 12 months from now. I said, 12 months? I thought I had thyroid cancer. He said, I did too, but you don't have it. I just want to tell you, God can do anything. And I do believe God's going to heal me of this stage 4 prostate cancer. There's nothing that he can't do. Of the 7 major miracles that I have had in my life, all seven of them happen at church. That's another reason I love my church. Just a few days ago when I was at Mayo Clinic, I said to my wife, if I could just get home to my church family, everything would be all right. And that's just the way I feel. Connected to a church that believed in the miraculous, believed in spirit baptism. And it's what drives us. I've seen so many, many miracles that's happened in this church. So God bless you tonight. Fall in love with your church. You will never regret it. It will not only impact your family, but it impacts generations to come, because this is where it happens.
And Daddy gave him his eighth miracle, major miracle, by bringing him home just last week. Amen. But when you was around James Carney, the kingdom of God come. It would come when you would hang out with him. And you would get Jesus, not James Carney. Amen. I have a testimony for you. Myra, would you come up here? She is a candidate of what we're talking about right now. And I just heard her testimony this past week. Amen. Myra, would you tell us what you know? Oh, amen. I'm going to hang out with you.
Okay, so if you would have asked me that question, you know, a month ago, then the logic in my head would have known, I know Jesus, you know. But that was that was a big lie to myself. And I have to say that I feel like this service is just God speaks in a way that is so amazing. It just feels so personal. This video, everything you've said today, I had no idea about what to say, but now I know. He just told me so. Okay, so I was raised Catholic. I never had a relationship with Jesus. The way I do now. Wouldn't read the Bible, anything like that. 13 years ago, during a very hard time in my life, he placed people in my path that would talk to me about him. And I could see that people, you know, like the peace, the security of saying, you know, oh, God will take care of this. Jesus will do this, will do that. And anyway, I got out of that phase. Years forward, you know, I never joined a church or anything. I just started, you know, listening to videos. But a few years ago, the call just started getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So anyway, that one person he placed in my life years ago, you know, to bring his message to me, the good news, came to mind again. So I decided to come to church for the first time January 10th and got baptized. So forward, I don't even know how to explain it. What did I know? Nothing. I knew nothing. Nothing, that's what I can say. 3 years ago, 3 weeks ago, he touched me here in this church. Ended up on the floor. I had a big question. What is this? You know, like I never experienced that in my life. And just things have been going on from there. He's just been present and just touching me. However, 2 weeks ago, that was like the big one. I came forth to get some prayer. I just felt like he had been dealing with me about a few things, and unforgiveness was a big thing in my life. I needed help with that, and he had been working. I didn't know how to listen to him, just little things here and there, so I came forth. I got prayer, and I thought that was that. I mean, you know, I got the prayer. I saw a vision of just this picture of this man standing on the rock, you know, with his arms up in the air. And I just didn't know what that meant. Went back to my seat. And then just the Holy Spirit just came over me. And I never knew how much God loved me. I just didn't know Jesus' love. And it's amazing. And hearing this video about the pastor talking about, you know, getting connected with your church, loving the church. Now I understand the reason why he wants to plug us into his body, you know, because then he will move incredibly. I have no words to explain what happened 2 weeks ago when I got his baptism. I just started speaking in tongues. I never felt. I never knew about that, never thought I would be able to get that. I wasn't seeking that. He just touched me, and it was just, his presence was all over me. He's amazing. And ever since, you know, like, I think the most important thing to me is I didn't know. You know, I always felt so unworthy and so filthy and dirty, like, and just to know that a God loves us so much, Jesus loves us so much to the point that he is willing to come and have that relationship with you and just touch you. And then at that point, just everything changes and shifts and moves, and you're just like, what is going on, you know? So until now, I just know it's him, and that's all I need to know, and I know he will continue to open up. So,
did anything begin to challenge you as far as your hands burning and praying for people? And
yes. Well, I noticed my hands would get hot, and then I was just like, "What is this?" So, it just happened that after that week, a few days later, I was on the phone with one of my friends, and her niece had a migraine, and we did some prayer. I just got on the phone with her, and I prayed for her, and the migraine was gone. Apparently, she had the migraine the day before, you know, all day, and hadn't been able to get rid of it, and it was just a quick prayer and gone. So I know Jesus was moving there, and praise to him, you know, so. So.
Amen. Amen. Now she gets to tell the one that had the migraine that this is the kingdom of God. Amen. And migraines don't hang out where Jesus is. Amen. Is anybody tracking with this today? When he's present, everything that's not of him or like him has to go. Amen. Now, if you've got some things that's not like him in your life right now, that's not a negative thing when it comes to you having that there in your life. It's just that God wants to take care of it. Because you're special, you're worthy, you're powerful, you're anointed, you're chosen. Amen? And where he abides, his house is whole. Amen? And so how do we get there? Because we're good? Because we're intelligent? Oh, we have to work our way there. None of the above. We arrive at the place of identity because he loves us, and it's what he does. It's his good pleasure to give us these things. And to say that I deserve to have anything in my life, well, that may be true from a logical standpoint, but does God want it there? Amen. My choices have gotten me in a bind more than I want to talk about. Can we all agree with that? And because we choose certain directions and steps and paths in our life, this is a fruit that shows up. But he knows how to take care of the fruit. So you don't need more information. You need revelation so that you can experience transformation. And what God is transforming us into comes by way of experience, not information. Please catch that. The reason I can trust God at the level I trust God, or you can trust God at the level you trust God, is you're experiencing God. Nobody in this room can trust God without God empowering them to do so. That should be liberating for most of the people in this room. You can't be unless you let Him be first. Amen? So where He's taking us, at the end of this thing, we're all going to get in unison and lock arms and say, look what the Lord has done. Right? And so if you would stand as the singers come and we open up our spirit and we begin to focus on the fact that I can know Him on a level I've never known Him before. And it's His invite for us to go there right now. Anybody agree with this? That the kingdom of God in our earth and for it to manifest in our world, He limited Himself to do it through you. Look at that person in the mirror the next time you see that person in the mirror and remind that person who they are and start speaking what the Spirit's saying to you about that person in the mirror. That's okay, let go. Just you and Daddy. Nobody else. Just you and Daddy here. Come on, everybody believe we all believe in Jesus. We can relax. We ain't got nothing to prove. We can just let it go and be filled. Can we open up our hearts and lift our hands, surrender to Daddy right now? Lord, I want to know You on a level I've never known You before. I want to experience You in ways that I didn't think I could. Lord, I'm inviting You now to have it Your way in Your house. Be King of Your kingdom within me. I don't want to be the same when I leave today. Amen. Come on, let's lift our hearts to heaven. Amen. Thank You, Father.